Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast. Appreciate you listening in. It's a busy, busy time of year. It's a cliche, but it really, truly is. With 6 or 7 or 8 or even 9 events on any given weekend in the spring, running events, we're packed full. High school, college, kids' events, triathlons, duathlons, and then, of course, foot races. We've got a lot on tap. It's an exciting time, and I always enjoy this time of year as I see folks really revving up spring, because the summer is so oppressive. It's really a good time. Spring is actually a good time to get your good times in. Let's start maybe with the university. They were up at Jason Vigilante's gang. We're up at the big one at Franklin Field, the Penn Relays, our most prestigious track meet in the United States. And, oh, my gosh, we did really well up there, the Cavaliers, starting with the women's DMR. We've been talking about them all season, throughout the winter, all year, actually, distance medley relay. The same foursome of Morgan Gay, Ayla Smith, Lindsay Harper, and Stephanie Garcia. They continue to bring now their own school record. They bring it down each time they race. It seems like they're down to 10:57, which is the fastest ever in the history of the school, outdoor, indoor. So congrats to them. They were third at the DMR at Penn. And then the guys, 4x8, successfully defended their title. This is a very prestigious event at the Championship of America division. Brett Johnson, the 150, very impressive. Lance Roller, always love that name, Lance Roller. Very cool-sounding name to have for somebody who's fast. He pops it down to 148, which is very impressive. Then Anthony Kostelec, the fresh off his ACC championship run last week, won the 800. He's the freshman, first year out of Albemarle, of course. Anthony Kostelec was part of the Fab Four, the guys who set the world record in high school. He runs a 147. Big PR for him. And then he hands off to the Jersey Bomber, Robbie Andrews, who's back and healthy, obviously. And he walks down the field and ends up running away from the field with a 146. Very impressive. Guys run 7:12. That's a number 2 time all time at Penn. It's a new school record. And it's a 30-year-old record, by the way, that's now history. And Andrews is named the athlete of the meet for the relay events, and much deserved. Good to see him back. Other times, a note in the UVA, from the UVA gang, Colin Mearns is now the number 2 freshman ever for Virginia with his 904 steeple, tremendous. And then Chris Foley, 14:18 for 5K, number 5 freshman all time for Virginia. Really good. On the high school side, Adam Visake, one of Buzz Mail's speedy distance guys, he ran a commonly run event, the 3,000 for high schoolers. He ran 3K at the Penn Relays. He finished 13th out of 27. He was the last seed. He was the 27th seed, so he picked up 14 spots. He ran 8:35. Like I said, that converts to a 9:13 for 3,200 meters. That's very impressive. So, you know, good weekend up in Philadelphia. Congrats to all those folks. The Dogwood Track Classic was on Saturday at Monticello High School. We didn't have it at UVA this year because of UVA wasn't sure when they're actually officially breaking ground from the new facility, so we moved over to the really actually beautiful facility at Monticello. Fitzgerald Barnes kind enough to allow us to use the facility. And Charlie Hurt put on a great event. He's our meet director now, assisted by Rick Lilly. Charlie, of course, great former Western runner, former William Mary. He's now on a post-collegiate team. He coaches over at Out Western. He did a fantastic job. We had 35 schools or so and all kinds of good times out there. The big noise of the day was made by Louisa. Congrats to Jerry Cutright's squads. The boys were first, and the girls were third. And the boys were bolstered by the phenom, Tony Green. He won 3 individual events, long jump, triple jump, 110 hurdles, and then helped with the anchor or carry the baton in some of the relays where they won. So 5 events that he was a part of winning. And then on the girls' side, from Louisa, Javanique Burris, she also won those same 3 events, long jump, triple jump, and the 100 hurdles, and helped her team to a third-place finish. Fuma was second on the guys' side. Western 5th, Monticello 6th, Western Girls were 4th, Fluvanna 5th, and Elmore Girls 6th. So it was really a good day for our locals. Some races of note. The kickoff event of the day is the 2 mile. We have it early in the morning because it gets hot. And Kevin Bennett narrowly edged out. He's the star from Woodbury. Nate Hermsmeyer, they ran 9:16 for the 2 miles. Very impressive. Hermsmeyer off to UVA next year. He announced that, which is really pretty cool stuff. Ryan Thomas, the freshman phenom. We've been talking about him since January. He's edging. He's now 1/100th of a second away from Alan Webb's all-time record for a freshman in Virginia. He ran 4:23.89. Kid's a freshman, 4:23. He's down to Alec, my son's time. Alec ran when he was in his last year of high school, pretty much. That was his PR, was 4:23, and this kid's running it as a freshman. Most boys, we've talked about this before, breaking 5, their freshman year, big deal. Mm. That's kind of a milestone benchmark. So pretty impressive. And it's just some races of note. Henry Giles was 4th in the 3,200 from Western. Chance Parmley was 1st in the pole vault, 13'6". He's from Fluvanna. Derek Armstrong from Western, 2nd in the 800, 159 1st in the 1,600 with a 4:20. Visoke came back. So he runs up at Penn on Friday and comes back on Saturday and runs 2:01 for the 800 to finish 4th. Kind of a cool double there. Pretty neat stuff. Just the car drive back would have exhausted me. You know, usually stressed out after a car. Katie Farina, good to see her. Running here full time. She was 2nd in the 800 with an impressive 2:23. She was quickly followed by Sierra Ulan from Albemarle, 2:25. Sierra was 2nd in the 1600 with a 5:18. Elizabeth Sinclair, 5th in the 800, 4th in the 3200. Hannah Meter from Fluvanna. Fluvanna swept the pole vault. She was 1st in the pole vault, 11'3". That's been a Western Albemarle dominated event for over a decade, and to see Fluvanna taking both the boys and girls, pretty impressive stuff. I suspect Coach Matheny is always out there. He's a really incredible guy. He's a Western Elmer coach, but he's given tips to all these pole vaulters from every school. He loves the sport so much.
That's great.
It is great. He's really one of our more devoted and quiet coaches. He doesn't get a lot of attention, doesn't ask for a lot of attention, and sure deserves it. Calling out some kids that didn't finish 1st, 2nd, 3rd, top 5, didn't score for their team necessarily, but quietly had PRs. Reed Dickerson and Ryan Wolf from Monticello both ran mile PRs. Asher Noble from Elmore ran a nice 800. Madeline Hermsmeyer broke 12 in the 2 mile. Alice Ducharme, 12:24. And then Selena Cole is probably the big call out of the day. She dropped her mile PR by about 15 seconds. She's from Western, 5:38. That's getting to be really competitive time, so congrats to her. Donnie Cowart continues to just impress all of us. He's on the RMR post-collegiate team. And Mike, he's 8:31. He was 5th at the Peyton Jordan Invitational, the most prestigious, pretty much invitational meet that we have of the spring. It's out in the West Coast. And it was the toughest, most competitive steeple field assembled this year. And he was 5th in it. 8:31 puts him in the Olympic trials qualifying standard time, and he's going to go to the U.S. National Championships this summer. So congrats to Donnie. He's a VMI grad, and he runs with our, like I said, our local team. Really a great story over in Waynesboro, park-to-park half marathon. I don't know if you had any friends doing that, Mike. You're now in the running scene. Of course, you're with your baseball coverage, you're busy on the weekends more than ever. But we had probably about 75 to 100 locals go over there. It was about 400 people in the field. We took up about a quarter, and we just mopped up in a lot of the age groups and took the first 4 spots. Locals did. Melissa Rittenhouse was 1:24. She won. Mackenzie Hillard, she's a doc over at UVA, 1:27. Ann Mazur on the RMR team, 1:29. Then Andrea Wright, right behind Ann Mazur in 1:29, also about 25, 30 seconds back. She's 49 years old.
Nice.
Going to turn 50 next month. Very impressive time. 4th overall, and she wins the Masters. Other races of note, really tremendous times out there. Julie Patterson, 20-29. She ran 1:40. Becky Perrin, 1:48. Heather Studinski, 1:50. Really excellent time. Megan Jones, we've talked about her on Runcast before. She was also 1:50. Moving up in the age groups, 30-39, Bridget Donaldson was second, 136. Brianna Shelton, 148. Leah Connor, third, 141. Great PR for her. Ed Teague, third in the 30-39. Andrew Zapanta, great time, 138. Dan Bayless, 144. 40-49, of course, Andrea Wright won that, but she's pulled out of it and called the overall Masters champ. So the first place, 40-49, Barb Wiggins and Tracy Hill. Elizabeth Helmke had good races. Justin Pincham, 140, that's a PR. Dan Meter, 144, that's a PR. Cynthia, my wife, it was very cool. She had a tough time up at Boston, didn't finish out the race, hot day, and she just was not feeling it. So she came out at 20, and she says, I'm still feeling like I got some unfinished business. I'm fit. I'm feeling good. I want to find another race. So she went over in the Valley. And Seth, our RMR guy, who also did not have a great race there, he said, I want to run this half marathon. Well, he finished the Boston Marathon. I said, Seth, you're not recovered yet. We've got to get you recovered. And he goes, well, I still want to go over. I'm hungry because I just feel like I want to get my legs moving. I said, okay. You want to go run the park to park? You got to run with Cynthia. Cynthia. Okay. All right. Because he's a 5:15. 5:10, 5:05 per mile half marathoner, and Cynthia's trying to run 7:45 a mile. So he ran with her for 6 miles, and Cynthia said, go, please, just go. He goes, is it all right? Are you sure? He wasn't asking. She just sensed it was, you know, it's ridiculously so off right. He went. He ended up moving quite far up the field, finished with a 135. Cynthia ran 141. So he left her at 6 miles and picked up almost a minute per mile over the next miles.
And then I know you tell everybody, and it's definitely helped me, is to make sure you start slower and then move faster. But he was probably at mile six. He's going, see you later.
This is the extreme case. He must have just been blowing by people. He wasn't trying to show off. It's good, and it was fun, and it was a treat for Cynthia, and I suspect it was fun for him. Karen Derlin-Jones was fourth, and Tony Gimple sixth in that age group. And men's, 50-59, Kevin Lounsbury first, and Winslow Ballou, 12th, and oh my gosh, Charlie Menefee, big PR, 7-minute PR, he ran 146. TJ Wilson, fantastic race, 148, and Don Selby, 154. Craig Sarah's in 4th in the 16 over. So a lot of good efforts out there. Others of note, Kate Eagle, Gail Tarleton, Katie and Eileen Merritt, daughter and mom, Kathy Merritt, she runs for Monticello out there running with her mom. And then Ryan Looney and Susanna Tarani. So Dwayne Jones, race director, did a great job. People were raving about the event. Really, really tremendous effort there. So, and then Jen Hochran, one of my favorites. She was the first overall female at a half marathon up at Rehoboth Beach over the weekend. Hot. She didn't run as fast as she'd wanted, but she won the race and did quite well regardless. Kind of a run for the river. That was over in Louise. I was over there helping with them that in the morning. And Some Boston folks that have just run the Boston Marathon, I think, went a little 3-mile race there, said, what the heck? And they swept the first three spots with Amy Martin, a woman, obviously, Amy Martin. She won the race overall. Very cool. Right. It doesn't happen very often that a woman wins the whole kit and caboodle. Congrats to her, 18:44 for 3 miles. And Harry Landers, 57 years old, he finished second overall, and then Paula Capobianco rounded out the top three. Daniel Cutright, getting it right. He's a Louisa grad. He's a junior down at Lynchburg College. He set the ODAC conference record in the steeplechase. Congrats to him. And sticking with the getting right department, Jane Greenough, she ran the 10-miler with you, Mike, at 10:39 per mile, so a little behind you. That was a big deal for her. She felt really psyched about that. So she went down and did the Flying Pirate half marathon in the Outer Banks in early April, so about 2-3 weeks later, 10:29 a mile. She drops 10 seconds per mile.
More miles.
Listen to this. This is right out of Mike Biseglia's plan book here. First 6 miles, 10:46 pace. Last 7 miles, 10:13.
Wow.
So she averages 10:29. So she averaged 10:29, but her first six were 10:46.
Very cool.
Do the math, you see why. And she goes, Mark, I felt awesome. I was passing people left and right. So she goes, I'm getting it right. Yeah, you are. Selena Coles, out at Western, I talked about her earlier, huge PR. She's getting it right. 5:38 this early in the season. That girl is on fire. Leslie LePage, mother of five boys. Count them, five boys. No wonder this woman likes to get out and do a little running, get a little break from the action. They're ages 2 to 12. Oof. These are not 18 to 30-year-olds. They're 2 to 12.
Yeah.
I've been there myself with four kids, two which were girls, so a little more balance there. Anyway, she runs her first half marathon, coached by her next-door neighbor, Noelle Davis, who has four kids herself, all about the same young age like that. So the two of them, nine kids between them, ran the park to park. Congrats to Leslie LePage and her coach on completing it. TJ Wilson also getting it right. He went out 9 minutes for his first mile, 8:46 for his second, went on to average 8:18 for the whole race. Another guy understands this whole concept of letting the engine warm up. The longer the race, the more you need to let it warm up. So good for those guys. Another group getting it right, kind of on a tangent here. Maybe you saw this week. I'm sure you guys covered it at INA, the Golden Apple Awards. They do it once a year. They pick out teachers for exceptional, most teachers are exceptional, period, but to get the Golden Apple, pretty impressive. And here's a bunch of folks that I picked out of the list that are very exercise-oriented, exercise-minded, running, walking. Gwen Hairston over at Agnew Hurt, Nancy Marcos at Broadwood, Scott Williams teaches PE over at Meriwether, Lewis Chuckwit, math teacher over at Western, Brian Bartholomew, he coaches the St. Anne's Belfield field hockey team. He's from South Africa. Mm. You don't see too many male field hockey coaches of female teams.
Sure.
But South African field hockey player, he knows his stuff. And then Megan Sweeney over at Miller. Congrats to them on their Golden Apple Awards. Let's see. And then kind of live and learn department, two of my athletes that I help from time to time advise them. Suzanne Trani, she ran a 50-miler in 13 hours over in Hampton, Hampton Relay for Life, back in April. And then Glenn Anderson, who we talk about so often, he clicked off number 38.
Ah, very
you know
good.
What I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's on his march
states.
To 50 states, 38. Kicked off the Cornhusker State, the Big Red, Lincoln, Nebraska. Ran 3:52, but he said, I'm tired. And Susanna was telling me that I'm tired. And it just shows you the cumulative effect if you're doing these long-distance races. That And Glenn was saying, you know, maybe I need to take a little break here. You know, he's going to get the 50 regardless. And I was saying to him, you know, why don't you just take a couple months and let your legs get back on. He and I talked about too, Mike, one of the things that's really catching up with him is the traveling. You talk to anybody, businessman, businesswoman that travels around the world all the time, they tell you they're pretty tired. Well, they're not running a marathon every time they go to some place every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They're doing business, not to belittle that, but come
right.
on.
Yeah.
So no wonder feeling a little tired. So, you know, I was just telling him, particularly Glenn, to take it easy.
We go on these baseball trips, and it's just a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Something nice about coming home, sleeping in your bed. It is exhausting.
Traveling is, even vacation is stressful. And, you know, we warn runners about this quite often. You can find something local, then you're better off half the time with sticking close to home. Training tip of the week, I cannot reiterate enough that in these long-distance events, 10 miles, half marathon, marathon, the earlier you hydrate, the earlier you pack your fuels in, your nutrition, your electrolytes, the better off you're going to be over the long haul. And I've been seeing this more and more lately, people waiting too long to take their first water. If you let the dictator be that you're feeling thirsty, you're done.
Mm.
So, because thirst lags way behind dehydration. So you get 4 miles into a long distance event, and that's the first time you take a hit, you're going to probably suffer over the latter part of the event. I've been seeing this a lot lately. So when is early? Mile one. But I'm not thirsty, Mark. Too bad. Get it in there. Mile two at the latest. And don't drink 4 ounces or six. Pound. Put quite a bit in. So I'd rather almost not see you drink much beforehand and drink early on than drink a bunch beforehand and wait till 8 or 9 or 10 miles to do it. Giving back department, Dogwood Track Classic, pretty cool. Charlie Hart organized. Had a lot of help from the folks at Monticello, Charlottesville, Western, and Almar. Those parents, big deal, big help, particularly the Almar parents helping at the gate and the Western parents helping with the concessions. We split the profits four ways for the track programs. It's a really neat concept. I bet you can't name a single event, athletic event in this community where those four high schools come together, organize it together, host it together, and then split the profits four ways. So call out. Somebody let me know. And I'm not bragging necessarily. I'm just saying I'd be curious because I've never heard of it before, and it's really neat stuff. Volunteer of the week, Louise Knudsen. Louise Knudsen, isn't she the girl we're talking about? Qualified for the Olympic trials? Louise Knudsen volunteers? Why should she volunteer? She's the fastest marathoner in town. She should be sitting on a throne somewhere, you know, signing autographs. Now, Louise is about as regular, normal person as can be, nurse over at UVA. And she came out and helped me at the run for the river early in the morning, way out in Louisa. Then all of a sudden, there she was at the dog would track me when I went back over to help there, and she stayed there all day long. Mm. So, Louise, way to go. Thanks a bunch. And it was cool because there was these high school boys helping us out in the meet, and they're talking to Louise. And I said, you realize who you're talking to? You're talking to the fastest marathoner in Charlottesville, a woman who just qualified Olympic judge. You're that woman? Of course, Louise getting all blushed because she's pretty modest, but pretty cool. And then Bob Wilder, he's out there all day long at the dog would track me, Dr. Wilder, helping out, giving his time freely. And the next day at the family fitness run, there he is out there helping out. And that was a great event, by the way, too. Really cool on Sunday out at Panorama. Stacy Bruns and the Charlottesville Day School. What a job. They had over 100 kids out there. Mike, you would have loved it. Running all over the place. 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash, half mile, and then mile. Very cool. A call out to Coach of the Week. Got to give it to Jerry Cutright. Been helping coach over at Louisa for close to 40 years now. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing guy, and here they are, the Dogwood champs, and congrats to him. He's had a huge impact on the Central Virginia running community. Happy 40th to Mackenzie Inigo. Best wishes to Joel Hess. He's on our RMR team. He's a resident over at UVA. He was hit by, on his bicycle, riding to work the other day. He was hit by a car. He just kind of tooling along. Thank goodness he had his helmet on because he hit his head really hard, shattered his pelvis, so he's out right now on crutches. Speedy recovery to him. Congrats to Elizabeth Sinclair, who signed with Lehigh. She's over at Almoral. Got to have some brains to go to Lehigh. Got to be fast to sign with Lehigh, so she's going to run for them in the coming years. And then I talked about Nate Hermsmeyer over at Monticello. He's going to run at UVA. A couple of running rants here. I haven't done some rants in a while, but I saw some of this weekend. Very frustrating. If you don't register for a race, but you participate in it, you're called a bandit. And it's for a reason, because you're taking something without paying for it. You're taking water. You're participating in the event. Okay, we understand this. It's all right. Nobody's going to, you know, beat you up over this. But don't cross the finish line if you're a bandit. So what was happening is I helped at several events over the weekend. People come in. They come across the finish line. They come in. They say, oh, I didn't register. Well, the person punching the timing clock doesn't know that, so they've already recorded your time. So we have 222 times, and these people, they try and get out of the chutes before they get counted. Well, they've already been counted with their time. So when we give them a place card, if that person was 95th finisher and they got a time for 95, but they don't get the 95th place card, we're off by one, and there go the results. So yeah. It's one of those things I think it's naivety and it's innocent, but God, it's frustrating. So the more we can talk about it, the less maybe people do. The other thing is don't ever cross the finish line twice. Mike Biseglia gets out ahead of his girlfriend, although, yeah, you were ahead of her at Virginia Institute.
Right.
At the Run for Autism. Okay. Great. Go back out. Pace your gal back in, your fiance. Pace her back in. That's cool. But don't cross the finish line again. Because what happens is that person crosses the finish line again. They've counted. The poor guy doesn't doing the times. He doesn't know Mike Biseglia. He doesn't recognize you saying,
sure.
You know, unless you're running naked. I say, here comes that naked guy again. I already counted him.
So many people
come
going
in,
through.
Especially in the point range. But then what happens is the person says, oh, I finished the race. So they get out of the chutes. They think they're doing something good.
Right.
No, they're not. And the other one that's just chapping at me, and this is one I'm cutting at a really raw nerve for people, but the headphones. You're going to have them on in a race. They're not allowed, but that's okay. I'm kind of over that. You know, it's overwhelming. Over half the people in races now are wearing some kind of a musical headphone device. Take them off when you come into the chutes so people can give you instructions. On Saturday, I had a race. The woman missed the finish line, was outside the chutes. We were yelling, ma'am, 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 screaming at her. Just kept on going. And then tried to pull her into the chutes to say, you know, you counted, please. You're already across the finish line, but you're outside the chutes. We need to get you in so we can give you a number. She finally says, I can hear you. And then, of course, I didn't see. She had long hair. Didn't see. She had the headphones hidden in her ear. So, I mean, we're trying to help. Very few people in this town are getting paid to put on these races. A very small percentage of the foot races where someone's getting paid. We're volunteers. Early in the morning, most of us have gotten up 4:30, 5 o'clock. We're trying to host an event for you. Want to make the results accurate. Keep you safe. So, just a little request there. Take off the... I guess they're called earbuds or whatever. I don't know all the lingo on this since I started running long before we had music out there at our fingertips. So I kind of like hearing things when I'm out there. I don't need the music, but I'm in the minority, I gather. So again, I'm risking irritating some people with even this minor running rant.
Maybe she just had the Runcast blasted too loud in her headphones. She couldn't hear you. She was getting instructions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this week she'll know what to do.
Right.
The trivia question last time was, you know, what college did Louise Knudsen go to? We're pounding on Louise today.
Sure.
It's Brigham Young. Louise, and that's where she did some of her running, but not much at all before she came to Charlottesville. In the starting blocks, oh my gosh, we are just packed. Monte Alto Challenge 5K this Saturday. I love it. Glenn, Jason, Peter, all of the fine folks up at Monticello put on a dandy of an event. You can walk it if you like. You may stop, and even if you're running it, you're probably going to end up walking part of it. Seven switchbacks. You have seven switchbacks. Beautiful event. Bagpipes up on top of Monte Alto. Monte Alto looks down at Monticello. This is the, hands down, I'll argue with anyone, the most spectacular finish of any foot race in Virginia, maybe in the country. Oh, come on, Mark. You're hyping it up.
No,
okay? Get up there to the top and see what I'm talking about. It's absolutely beautiful, especially this time of year.
It's unbelievable. And that first couple of miles feels good. Things are going well. And then you hit those switchbacks, and it is unbelievable task. And when you get up there, it is something else. Great view. Great view.
Batesville 10K, second. By the way, the Monte Alto starts at 8 o'clock and 7:30 for walkers over at Saunders Trail. Batesville 10K, second oldest race in the area. Another challenging one. Really fun event. Hamp Carruth and his gang do a good job there. Moonlight 2-miler for Jennifer Wells, who had meningitis, and sadly, she was a Monticello student, and when she was in her second year at UVA, headache on Friday, gone on Sunday. You know, really, really tragic consequence to a quick-moving disease. And she lives on because her mother and her mother's sisters put on this wonderful benefit run every year. It's 2 miles, totally different than the Monte Alto Challenge. This is 2 miles on a flat track, 8 laps. So I know Cynthia is going to go out and do that with our two daughters, Audrey and Annie. That's 8 o'clock in the evening, Saturday night. That's a beauty. That's a real great community event. A lot of fun. Flavanna, if you live out in that neck of the woods, Pleasant Grove, Habitat for Humanity, 5K, another good cause. And then Run for Their Lives, 5K over at UVA, same day. And then Dogwood Duathlon for youth. The youth duathlon up at Forest Lakes on Sunday on Mother's Day. Gosh, a lot on tap. Don't forget, folks, if you're interested in training for a fall marathon or half marathon of your choice, the Charlottesville Track Club's training program, we have an orientation meeting on May 16th. This is for anyone looking to do their first event or anyone looking to improve on a previous effort. I do the coaching. It's a lot of fun. We had about 200 people last summer. Really good times. That's, again, May 16th at St. Paul's on the corner, 6 o'clock in the evening for the orientation. We don't actually start the training till late June. Men's 4-miler training program continues every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. The entry blanks are now out, Mike. Mm. Got to get on it. Father's Day, finish at the 50. That's our little lingo there, little
nice
jingle. Finish at the 50.
Cool.
What does it mean? The 50-yard line of Scott Stadium.
So nice.
Not any ordinary stadium. UVA's home football stadium. This is historic. You get run up through the visitors' ramp, visiting team ramp, and you get the Jumbotron will be lit up. We've
too
got
cool
a sponsor to pay for that. Mike Biseglia, you can see yourself. How big is the Jumbotron? 25, 30 feet high?
I mean, it is gigantic.
Live.
Yeah.
So you've got to work on your form.
I feel
across
like I need to get a football when I come in there at the end.
Your gal can be up in the stands cheering for you, then she sees you up in the Jumbotron.
So cool.
She's like, you know.
That's great.
Pretty cool stuff. Runners of the week. Oh, my gosh. You know, where do we begin? 4x8 guys. Tremendous. Anthony, Robbie, Brett, and Lance. The DMR women. Really good job there. Donnie Cowart with his 8:31. Charlie Menefee with his 7-minute PR. I mean, fantastic in the half. Tony Green and Javanique Burris, the Louisa duo. Adam Visakay, his great pen relays. Selena Coles, a huge mile PR. Andrea Wright, fourth overall, park to park. Leah Connor with a smashing PR. I could go on and on. Just a tremendous time of year. A lot of good stuff going on. So really, thanks everyone for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of Runcast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.